So the reading today, as John said, is page 1224, 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. So I'll wait for a second so everyone can find the chapter 3, verses 14, page 1224. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do to other scriptures, to their own destruction. Amen.
Brilliant. Morning, everyone. And thank you, Gina, for reading. Too many things on this platform. Here we go. That's how we're going to do it. So my name is Matt. I'm a member of the congregation here. What can I tell you about myself? I'm a sort of engineer, not a great one, and I work in the water industry as well. So that's me. So if you have been coming to our evening services, this is the fifth in the series of talks and the last on 2 Peter. If you haven't, you may be thinking, oops, I've come in at the end of a series and it won't make sense. Well, if that's the case, don't worry if that's how you're feeling, because there's two good reasons not to worry, actually. One is that all of these talks are on the church website, so you can go back and listen to those talks. And then the other reason is because what I'm saying today, the verses that we're covering today, circle back and cover a lot of what we've heard before. And in fact, if you had to summarize the message of the whole of this letter in just three sentences, I don't think you could do better than the last two verses of this letter. Let's get them out. So if you've got your Bibles, look at verse 17 and 18 for me. I think this is a brilliant summary of the whole of the letter. Verses 17 and 18. Here we go. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. I think that's a brilliant summary of the whole letter. And so who were the recipients of this letter? Well, they were Christians, and the writer was writing to them to avoid their faith being undermined by ungodly people who were within their communities and unfortunately in their church as well. So what does the writer tell them to do about that situation? Well, he says that to avoid being carried away by these lawless people, they should grow in the grace and knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ in particular. So that's the letter. Now, it doesn't have any relevance to us. That's what I was thinking when I was preparing the sermon. And I was reminded of a lovely WhatsApp exchange on one of the church WhatsApps, which if we've got the image, if we can come up. That's right. Great. So there we have it. So someone in the church had posted this, which says, if St. Paul could see the church today, we'd be getting a letter. And I thought that was brilliant. And then someone underneath posted, God did see the church today. And that is why we've got Paul's letters. So that encouraged me that we need to hear letters like this today. Thank you. Of course, the writer of our letter, we'll leave that verse off, just that those words off for a second. The writer of our letter is not Paul, it's the Apostle Peter. And you'll probably know who Peter was. He was the fisherman who didn't presumably know Jesus very well when Jesus met him on the beach and asked him to follow him. But ultimately, Peter came to know Jesus as his Lord and his Savior. And I want to emphasize that idea of knowing and Peter knowing Jesus, because that is one of the big themes of this letter. And we get a clue to that by looking at the verses that bookend this letter. Very often the verses that bookend the letter give you a clue to the meaning of the whole letter. So if you grab your Bibles again and look at the start of the letter. So go to chapter 1, verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2 of 2 Peter. And let's see what Peter says there. So chapter 1, verse 2, this is what Peter says. He says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." And now flick to the end of the letter. So go to chapter 3, verse 18. If you flick across the end of the letter, and let's see what it says there. It says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So knowledge is quite a big theme in this letter. And my prayer for what we study this morning is that the knowledge that we gain from these verses will help us to avoid our faith being undermined by godless people who are within our communities and possibly in our church. Now, I'm dotting about the verses a bit too much, actually, so that's why I put this one sentence up, if we can have the sentence, so that if I lose you along the way, everything I have to say boils down to this one sentence. So, to avoid being carried away, let us make every effort to know and grow in both God's judgment and his grace. So that's what I'm going to talk around in the next 20 minutes or so. So we'll leave that up there in case I lose you as I dot around. So fifth in the series of talks, and we've had some brilliant talks, and I really would recommend listening to them again from Sho, Charlie, Rob, and Matt. And I've loved listening to those talks because I felt the sort of impetuous Peter reach through the pages of this letter, grab me by the scruff of my neck, and tell me to look and listen at some of the things that he's saying there. So let me tell you what I've taken from listening to the other guys talk on these passages. So there's three things that I've heard, or three people I've heard that I should listen to, or three groups of people, and two things that I should look at. So let me tell you the first person that I've heard that I should listen to. And that's Peter himself, the Apostle Peter. Because back in chapter 1, Peter reminds us that he was an eyewitness to what Jesus did, but more importantly, who Jesus is. So four times in this short letter, Peter describes Jesus as Lord and Savior. And Peter is writing this letter while he's imprisoned under the tyrannical Emperor Nero, and we learn in chapter 1 that he knows that he's soon going to die. So what we're reading could be the last letter that Peter ever gets to write. And when Sho opened up our series on this passage, he asked a simple question which really struck home with me to help me understand the significance of this being Peter's last letter. He said, if you were writing your last letter, what would you write in it? So, let's have a look at what is the final, and I think probably the most important thing that Peter wants the recipients of this letter to hear, and I think for us to hear today. And what is it that I think he wants us to hear? It is that those last couple of verses. I'll read them again. Dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Peter wants us to listen to him. And also back in chapter 1, we hear that Peter wants us to listen to the prophets as well. So he wants us to listen to the prophets. I hope you're not, but if you are in any doubt as to the reliability of the Old Testament prophets, then take the advice that Rob gave us when he was talking on this passage. Take a look at Isaiah 53. Not now, but take some time after service. If you can, don't take 5 minutes. Take an hour over it. Just take a long time over it. And just go through Isaiah 53 and just bask in the enormity of the accuracy of that prophecy of what happened in terms of Jesus' death and resurrection. You probably know it, just remind you, is that, you see, Peter had experienced that firsthand, or had firsthand knowledge of what Isaiah prophesied, that Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was on Jesus, so that by Jesus' wounds, we are healed. That, I think, is the grace and knowledge that we are expected to grow in. The third person that I think Peter wants us to listen to is in our passage that we're looking at this morning. So if you look at verse 15 for me. So we've been encouraged to listen to Peter, encouraged to listen to the prophets, and now we are being encouraged to listen to the Apostle Paul. Verse 15 says this. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. Don't you love that positive reference to Paul? Because we know Peter and Paul had a bit of a small falling out earlier in their ministry. But here, at the end of his life, the Apostle Peter is talking warmly about Paul and affirming his right to speak with God's authority as a full apostle. And did you notice in the next verse, if you've still got it in front of you, verse 16, how Peter puts Paul's letters in the same category as the other scriptures, the other scriptures. So Peter puts Paul's letters in the category of the other scriptures. So presumably, some at least of Paul's letters were already circulating and people were reading them. And Peter is in no doubt that Paul writes with God's authority. And that's important, isn't it? Because we know about half of the books of the New Testament are written by Paul, who's writing with God's authority. And in these verses, what does it say that Paul is saying with God's authority? Verse 15, it is that God's patience means salvation. God's patience means salvation. And he says that because earlier in the letter, we read how Peter has to counter the scoffers who say, well, let me read it. Where is this coming, he promised, ever since our ancestors died? Everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. They're doubting that Jesus will come again. And Peter and Paul are urging believers not to doubt that Jesus will come again. Peter says that God wants everyone to turn to him, and God is waiting patiently for people to respond. God is waiting patiently for us to respond, but he will not wait forever. We read also in the verses that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Peter and Paul are clear, Jesus is coming again. And when he does, our relationship with Jesus will determine our destiny in terms of whether it's heaven or hell. So are we making the most of God's patience? Are we thinking that we've got another year, another hour, another second to get right with God? Have we got another second to help our friends, our families, our neighbors to understand that Jesus is Lord and Savior? So that's a bit of a recap of what's come before about who Peter, I think, wanted me and I think us to listen to. Peter wants us to listen to himself, he wants us to listen to the prophets, and he wants us to listen to Paul. You see, all three, Peter, Paul, and the prophets, are speaking with God's authority. If we are listening to them, if we are reading our Bibles, we are hearing from God. So, one of the lessons I've taken is to avoid being carried away, we must make every effort to get to know our Bibles. I said there was some looking that I think Peter wanted me to do as well as just listening. A couple of lookings then. Verse 14, we're expected to look forward. It says, "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." And we know from verse 13 what this is, since you're looking forward to this. We know from verse 13. It is, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. And when Matt spoke on these verses, he reminded us that Jesus is coming back. The current heavens and earth will not last forever, but will be destroyed. The scoffers, the false teachers, the false leaders, and everyone who follows them will also be destroyed. But there will also be a new heaven and a new earth for those who continue to follow Jesus. Now, see, what I think Peter is saying here is that the knowledge of the future should inform how we live in the present. The knowledge of the future should inform how we live now. And I was reminded of this when Becca and I were watching Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. And if you remember in the Christmas Carol how the main character is Ebenezer Scrooge and how miserable and miserly he is at the start of that. But then ultimately he changes to be generous and joyful. And do you remember what changes Ebenezer Scrooge from this miserable and miserly to the generous and joyful person? It's those three ghosts. The Christmas past, ghost of Christmas past, ghost of Christmas present, and ghost of Christmas future. And you see, I think the message of the story is that Ebenezer, by looking back and looking forward, it informs and transforms how he lives in the present. And I think that's what Peter is hoping for us here. He wants us to listen to him and as what has happened in the past, and then look forward to what is going to happen in the future. I think Peter's wants both God's judgment and God's grace to inform how we live in the present. That is important to avoid us being carried away. One last looking, and it's a lookout. So, and it still relates to judgment. Peter wants the recipients of this letter, us, to be looking out. And they're to be looking out for these false teachers, false prophets, and scoffers who they themselves were leading depraved lives and teaching destructive heresies. And in today's passage, in verses 16 and 17, we again hear Peter warning the believers to not be to be on their guard against the lawless, ignorant, and unstable people, and not to be carried away by the error of these lawless people. And why is that? So as not to fall from their secure position. So look out for these people. Now, these lawless people are not just failing to understand what Peter and Paul and others are writing. They're not just failing to understand what Paul writes here. No, they are actively distorting. They're actively distorting what Paul writes. And that word, that original word for distort, is often used in connection with twisting a rope or torturing on a rack. And presumably, it is those distortions that they are using to justify their own sin, their own adultery, their own greed, their lust, and using it to lead others astray. But we know from what Peter says that this will result in them being carried away into destruction, and unfortunately, those who follow them will also be. In verse 16, you'll see that, and this made me smile, where Peter says, Paul's letters do contain some things that are hard to understand. And I thought, yes, they do at times, don't they? But equally, Paul's letters contain some things that are crystal clear, a lot of things that are crystal clear and inspirational. But rather than acting on what is clear, these people are distorting what Paul says to their short-term gain, but ultimately their long-term destruction. And tragically, there are similarly lawless people in our churches today. So it was about 2 years ago that abuse and sexual misconduct was uncovered by of Ravi Zachariah, the Christian apologist and leader. And one of the distortions he used to justify his adultery was to point to the other godly men in the Old Testament who had more than one wife. And then shortly after that, we know there was a lessons learned report from the Christian Safeguarding Charity 31:8 about Jonathan Fletcher, the vicar of Emmanuel Church, Wimbledon, about sexual abusive behavior there as well. So there are similarly lawless people in our church today. Now, there's so many reasons I'm grateful to Charlie and the leadership in our church. And one of them is for how they have responded to the lessons learned in that 31:8 report. And I'm also incredibly grateful for how they are responding to the current issues in the Church of England today. But it's not just up to Charlie and the leadership, is it? Peter says, we have been forewarned, so let us be on our guard, so that we may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from our secure position. And what is the best way to avoid us being carried away? It is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In previous talks, Sho and Charlie used an analogy of riding a bike, about if you go too slow, you risk falling off. And so it is with the Christian life. We need to keep going. We need to keep growing. Another useful, albeit imperfect, analogy is with the growth of a baby, a small child, is that it would be incredibly concerning if we were to see our child fail to grow. And as we know, we are children of God. We need to keep growing. Before a child can grow, it needs to be born. Before a child can grow, it needs to be born. And I suspect most people here today are born again. That is, that they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But if anyone here doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, can I encourage you to chat with a Christian friend, have a conversation with Charlie, pick up your Bible, read it, pray, do whatever it takes to come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. There is nothing more important. There's nothing more urgent. And you know what? There's nothing more wonderful than coming to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But let me turn to brothers and sisters in the church who already know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, look at verses 13 and 14 for me. Let me read those to you. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. So I ask you, brothers and sisters, are you making every effort to be found spotless and blameless at peace and at peace with Jesus? Are you making every effort to increase your knowledge, to grow in your knowledge by reading your Bible and hearing what Peter, Paul, and the prophets have to say for us? Are you coming to church on a regular basis? Are you meeting up with other Christian brothers and sisters on a regular basis? And are you making every effort to be on your guard against anything that you could read, you could see, the company you keep, what you see on the web, to avoid falling from your secure position? Are you making every effort to avoid those things? You see, back in chapter 1, Peter urged his listeners to make every effort to confirm their calling and election. And also in chapter 1, he urged the Christians to make every effort to add seven things to their faith: goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. To those of you who were there on January the 15th when Sho spoke on this passage, have you made every effort to add those seven things to your faith? Goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. Of course, my hope is that you have made every effort and been doing these things. And my hope is that you've been more successful than I have. And I hope that when you did these things, they didn't necessarily feel like an effort, but a natural reaction to Jesus, who has already made every effort and went to the cross on our behalf. But even if it wasn't effortless, I hope you did these things anyway, because we are called to make every effort to avoid being carried away. Now, if I've made the Christian life sound like judgment and hard work, then I am misrepresenting the full sweep of this letter and what Peter has to say to us. Don't get me wrong. As Christians, we are expected to make every effort. But, it is in the context of grace. So, as I close, look again at those bookend verses for me. Let's go back to chapter 1, verse 2. Look back to chapter 1, verse 2, where Peter says in chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be yours in abundance. And then flick to chapter 3, verse 18, the last verse in this letter to us, where Peter says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was also wondering when I was studying this letter about whether in translating Peter's words, we've missed some of the meaning around make every effort. If you look at the original word for make every effort, it is as much about speed and urgency, as it is about effort. And I think that is an important, if not deliberate, contrast between God's apparent slowness and patience in wanting us to come to him and the urgency and speed with which he wants us to come to him and grow in him. God, in his grace, is waiting patiently for us to come to know him and then grow in him. So if you don't yet know Jesus as Peter knows Jesus, as his Lord and Savior, then please, please don't delay. Let Peter's quick response to Jesus be an encouragement to you. We know from the Gospel of Mark that Peter was fishing, and then Jesus came to him and said, follow me. And we read in the Gospel of Mark that it says, at once Peter left his nets and followed Jesus. At once Peter left his nets and followed Jesus. And if, like me, you have fallen short in making every effort, then let's pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and quickly go again. And never forget that no matter how much effort we put in, we could not be any more justified, any more saved, or any more loved than when we first came and followed Jesus. Our salvation was guaranteed when Jesus, who was the only spotless and blemish-free person, when Jesus went to the cross and made every effort on our behalf. So, I'm going to finish with Jesus' sacrifice, hopefully ringing in your heart and your head, and God's grace. Let me read to you the final words in this final letter from Peter, where he says, to him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.